Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter of 2 Kings. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door unto thee, and upon thy sons shall pour out unto all of those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and she brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the Bible, Father, thy precious word. We thank you for the privilege of reading it this morning. Lord, of preaching the Bible this morning, we thank you for it. Thank you for the freedom to gather here today in this place where, Lord, we can freely preach the Word of God. And, Lord, the folk who've come to hear your Word, we pray a special blessing. God, we need your help this morning. And, Father, the only way I know to be a blessing is to preach the Word of God and help our folk through it. And so, Father, once again, I ask you to use it, take it, Lord, and do with it as you see fit. And, Lord, we'll remember then to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This portion of Scripture is a marvelous portion of Scripture. It can be, so many things can be preached from it. So many truths can be taught from this portion of Scripture. But I am going to do a little something different from it this morning. I'm going to preach a salvation message from this portion of Scripture. We're going to preach about Jesus. We're going to preach about how folk get saved. And we're going to use this portion of Scripture to show how this lady represented salvation. We can see it in what happened here in her life. And it can be a help and a blessing to us. You know, salvation is the most wonderful gift that has ever been given to mankind. Amen. Wonderful eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There isn't any greater gift. We're coming to the Christmas season, but there won't be any gifts given that is as great as this gift, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our wonderful Lord. So we're going to use this story. This widow here pictures the sinner who is saved by a miracle of God. And certainly any time a person's saved, it's a miracle of God. It's God's wonderful, wonderful miracle. And we all know, and I think you understand, that there's a curse put on man when man sinned clear back in the Garden of Eden. And that curse was put there, and it's been passed down upon all men. Every single person, the Bible says, is a sinner. Every person that's born into this world has sinned and come short of God's glory. It's passed down. We are sinners, every single one of us. I don't care who we are. We need to understand that. I was taken back here a while back, a couple who had come, and I was in their home. In fact, you might pray for the Godden family. Their little girl, Courtney, had to go to the hospital late last night, and a reaction to some medicine, and so that's where they're at this morning. But she said to me, I have never heard a preacher say, I've been in church all my life, never heard a preacher say until the other day, when you said, do you know that God loves you as much as he loves his preacher. Well, I don't know why anybody wouldn't say that. God loves you as much as he loves his preacher. God loves you as much as he loves anybody. Oh, yes, he does. He's not a respecter of persons. Amen. He's given us different responsibilities. God's done that in service for him, given us responsibilities. But the love of God is the same for you as it is for me. It's a wonderful, wonderful love of God. See, we ought never to forget that. And the curse of sin is upon all men. So once again, all have sinned. You understand that, don't you? And we all need the love of God. You see, we all need Jesus Christ as our Savior because we are all sinners. Now, I want to look at her life here just a little bit. I want you to notice in this picture, in this scriptures that we've seen here, death was involved in it. First of all, let us say to you that her husband had died. And we see death involved in this. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, folks, that's what the wages of sin is. That's what it is. It's death. And every single one of us has sinned. We just get down to simple, plain things, and that's where it is. It's just everybody's sin, no matter who it is. You've sinned here this morning. According to the Word of God, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Now, we may be saved sinners, may be born again if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, but every person is a sinner. And so we see here, death here was a problem. Now, I don't know whether you understand or not, but sin kills, folk. Sin kills the joy in a person's life. Yeah. I mean, it'll just get rid of it for you real quick. You can be a Christian. You can be born again into God's family, and you let sin come into your life, joy goes. Joy goes. I mean, it goes out the window real quick, you see. Not only joy, but peace goes. There's just a wonderful peace that God gives us through knowing him, passes all understanding. And I love the peace of God. I've told you before, I love laying down of a night and just thinking about it and just laying there and right before I go to sleep and just saying, Lord, don't really make any difference whether I wake up or not. I know I'm all right with you. That's a sweet peace. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know, we don't know what's going to happen during while we're sleeping or any other time of the day. We don't know. But boy, what a sweet peace it is just to know that you're his. Well, that's a great peace. Now, everybody needs that peace, you see. You need that assurance. You need that peace. No, sin will kill that. Sin will kill you physically. Of course, that's why everybody dies. Well, you understand that. I'm sure you do. But everybody dies because of sin. Sure, the old sin nature, the old body was born into this world, and it's because of that that everybody is degressing. Amen? I mean, I feel it more every day, don't you? I mean, you get up somewhere around my age, you begin to feel it real good. I mean, you understand that old body is not like it used to be. Amen? And old sin is the reason it's not. Amen? And of course, for a Christian, there's a problem there too. You go back to 1 Corinthians 11th chapter for a Christian coming to the Lord's Supper wrongly. The Bible even says there's those that are sick because they come unworthily to the Lord's Supper. See, there's a lot of things about sin. That's why we as Christians need to stay away from sin. I mean, you understand that. You understand that. If you've been in preaching before, you understand that. God's people need to stay away from sin. There's a cost to pay, you see, for that. And certainly, sin kills spiritually. There's no doubt about that. Sin kills spiritually, you see, because sin is what separates you from God. Sin was what separated me from God, you see. No doubt about that whatsoever. And that sin is what separates you. And if you don't get those sins taken care of, if you don't get them washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll separate you forever from God. Forever and ever and ever from the Lord. So in other words, her problem here included death. Her husband had died. Not only that, her problem included a debt that she was unable to pay. I want you to notice in verse 1, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. There was a debt involved here. And when he died, the creditors was going to come and take her two sons in payment for the debt. Now let me say to you, folks, you and I have a debt that is impossible for you and I to pay. That debt is a sin debt. It's a debt that you and I cannot get right. We can't purchase it. We can't make it right with God. It's an impossibility for us to do that. Now, in essence, it was impossible for her too. She had nothing to give. She had no way to pay this debt. So they was going to come and take her two sons away from her. Again, I'm saying to you, there's a debt you and I cannot pay. That's a sin debt. It's impossible for you and I to pay it. So we find again her problem here included a debt. Not only that, her problem included slavery. If you'll notice there, they was going to come, the creditors was going to come, and they was going to take her two sons as bondsmen. They was going to make them slaves unto them for that debt. Now folks, salvation is a wonderful, here we see a wonderful picture of man being in slavery in the bondage of sin. We're all in the bondage of sin. Amen. Without Jesus, I'm talking about. We're all in the bondage of sin. And I'm just simply saying to you folks, there's a slavery there. You can't get out of it. You can't get released out of it unless Jesus Christ comes and becomes your Savior. He has already paid the cost for you. I'm sure you understand that, but that's why Jesus went to the cross. You see, to pay the cost, you see, for your sins, you see. So we're under the bondage of sin, and here is a picture of that here, this lady here being under a bondage. Her sons was going to be taken. We also find that the law can only condemn us. Now, folks, there is, now the law of God, I want you to remember, I'll say more about the law of God in just a few moments, but the law of God is a wonderful, perfect law. It is absolutely perfect. Amen. It's holy. It's righteous, you see. But all the law can do for you and I is condemn us. It can't help us when it comes to getting saved. You and I have failed. We've broken the law of God. There's not a thing that you and I can do. If we read the law of God today in this place, every one of us would have to stand on our feet and holler out guilty. Every single one of us would have to do that, none excluded. All of us would have to just scream out, we're guilty. And all the law can do is proclaim us guilty. So we find here that this creditor said she owed something. She owed a debt. And the only thing that creditor was going to do is demand that she pay it. And the creditor was not going to forgive that debt. She was going to demand. That's what the law does. The law demands to be paid, to be followed. Absolutely, you see. So the law of God just condemns us. Let me say something. The law of God is a good thing to use in soul winning. See, it doesn't hurt to use the Ten Commandments in soul winning and tell people that you've broken the law of God. Yes. Every single one of us has broken the law of God. You see, the Bible tells us that we're to keep the whole law. And yet if we offend in one point, he says, we're guilty of all. Amen? So we're all guilty. Amen? Everybody feel guilty this morning? Amen. Y'all guilty. Everybody's guilty here this morning. Amen. Whether you think you are or not, everybody's guilty, you see. And we needed Jesus. We need the Son of God, you see, to help us. He's the only one can help us. So we find then also that she went to the right place for counsel. The Bible says she went in verse number 1, she came to Elisha, the man of God. And the man of God has something that every person needs. And that's the Word of God. That's the only thing that can help you. It's the Word of God. I could talk to you all day about salvation. I mean, I can tell you all kinds of things. But if I don't get the Word of God involved, if I don't tell you what God says about salvation and how you can be saved, we might as well forget our conversation. Because it's the Word of God that needs to be brought forth to folks so they'll understand why they need to be saved. And let me say to you again, everybody needs to be saved. Everybody. If you haven't been saved, you need to be saved. Every single person here needs to be saved. And the only way you can do that is understand by the Word of God that you're a sinner, lost, and that Jesus loves you. That Jesus Christ is a wonderful Savior, and He loves you oh so much, you know. And so, really, it kind of seemed foolish. If you go on down to the end of that portion of Scripture, it kind of seems foolish what Elisha asked her to do. You know, he said, you go into your house and shut the door. And she said, I just got a little pot of oil in there. That's all I got. And he said, you go in there and you borrow all the vessels. I mean, you get them all. You bring them in there and you just start pouring. Now, if I'd have been in her shoes or you'd been in her shoes, I imagine we'd have said, what's this man thinking about? You see, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who believe not. See, it's foolish. They don't understand that it's a wonderful, wonderful miracle can take place, but to the lost world, it's foolishness. They don't understand that. And it was probably, to some degree, although she obeyed it and it's exactly what she ought to have done, she probably, if she was like any of us, we'd have probably said, what's this guy talking about? Here I've got a little pot of oil, this little oil in there, and he's telling me to fill all these vessels with it. Well, I just want to tell you it's a miracle of God. See, it was a miracle of God here, and it was a miracle of God in our life when Jesus saved you. Oh, that was a miracle! It's a miracle of God. I want you to listen. These are familiar verses, but I want to read them to you and kind of talk about them just a little bit. Okay, you just listen, and I'll read. It's over in Romans the 10th chapter. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, folks, you've heard that verse of Scripture over and over and over, but you ought to love that verse of Scripture. You ought to say praise God for that verse of Scripture. That's a wonderful verse of Scripture. God is simply telling to us, if we'll just confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What a marvelous, wonderful thing that is. See, that's a miracle of God. That's a wonderful miracle. And then he goes on and says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, it's with the heart. It's not with the head. A lot of people have believed about God with their head. You can believe there's a God. You hear me? You can believe there's a God. Yes, you can. But have you ever believed in your heart? Have you ever believed in your heart? Big difference. Big difference. From believing in your head to believing in your heart. But God says that for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We confess it with our mouth, but we must believe in our heart. Amen. Now, I'm just going to ask you, stop here and ask you, have you believed in your heart? Have you truly with your heart believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? He's a Savior, and that you're a sinner, and that you need it saved, and Jesus, the only one, can save you. Have you believed with your heart, or you just believe that up here in your head about a fact of salvation, not believing unto salvation? You have to determine that. I can't determine that for you. Then he also says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, folks, listen to me. You'll never be ashamed if you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never bring you to the place where you'd be ashamed to believe upon him. It's impossibility. No, he's a wonderful Savior, loves us so much, and oh my, the wonderful things he's done for us in saving us and all the other things he's done for us, but you won't be ashamed. You see, how can we be ashamed of the Savior who died on the cross for us? How can we be ashamed of him? And then he goes on and says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God says, so simple. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe that he's the anointed of God? Do you believe he's the one to come and he died on the cross, was buried, and he rose again? Do you believe that? See, God said, you believe that? He said, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Amen. God will give you eternal life. So that's a marvelous, wonderful thing. And so we find here the widow went and sought the counsel from a man of God who gave her the word of God. And that's what she needed. Not only that, we see the widow's deliverance, and we see her delivered. God just absolutely did a miracle there, and I just want to say to you, it's much like our salvation. God done a miracle when you got saved, when I got saved. That's a miracle. It's the greatest miracle that you've ever seen. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you in your life. There's no miracle like the miracle of salvation, you see. It ought to mean something to you. You ought to thank God for it every day of your life. It's one of the first things in my prayer every day I say, thank you for saving me. I've never understood why he would save me, but I thank him for it. I'm just glad he's merciful and good to me, because he cares about me and he saved me, and he saved you if you've received Jesus as your personal Savior, you see. He's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a result, you see. Here was a result of a miracle. She got delivered because a miracle happened in her life, and you are delivered through a miracle of God. Salvation is a miracle of God. Now, the law of God, once again, I told you I was going to say a few more things about that, but the law of God is not merciful. Now, once you get a hold of that, God never put the law of God here to be the merciful thing, the grace, all of that. No, 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 no. The law of God condemns you and I. It says you and I are guilty. I want to give you some things that I pinned down here, maybe help to you. Under the law, there was a dividing veil. You remember the veil that hung between the holy place and the holy of holies in the tabernacle? You remember that? That was there because of the law of God. A person could only go, no one was allowed in there except the high priest. And that was once a year. He could go under there under very strict conditions. Everything had to be met because it was behind the veil. But do you realize when grace come through Jesus Christ, that veil was rent from top to bottom, completely opening up the holies of holies, where God even tells us over in the book of Hebrews, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, the only reason we can do that is because of the shed blood of the Son of God. No other reason. You can't come upon your goodness. Any of our goodness can't get us into that wonderful throne of grace, only the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the Bible tells us in Exodus 32, it says, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. In other words, the law of God blots the sinner out. The grace of God blots the sinner's sin out. I like that. Amen. Not only that, the law curses the offender over in Galatians, the 3rd chapter. But the grace of God covers the offender and washes him clean. The law says do and live. But grace says it's already done. It's finished. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's already finished. It's already done. But the law says you have to do, then live. God said, oh, it's already done. Through my Son, it's already finished. Not only that, the law says every mouth should be stopped. That's what it says over in Romans, the 3rd chapter. Every mouth becomes guilty, stopped, becomes guilty before God. But the wonderful grace of God comes along and invites us to confess Jesus Christ with our mouth. Confess him and believe upon him and receive him as our Savior. The law was graven on a stone. Grace is graven on the heart. Law brings judgment. Grace brings justification for you and I. The law says, keep the commandments. Grace says, no, we're kept by God's power, Jesus, who kept the commandments for us. Not only that, the law demands love. Grace of God exhibits it. Exhibits it upon the cross of Jesus Christ, the wonderful, wonderful manifestation of the love of God that you'll ever see is on the cross, the picture of the cross with Jesus dying there. Not only that, the law says nearness to God is impossible. You'll find that over in Exodus, the 20th chapter of Exodus. And yet grace comes along and guarantees our nearness to God. Law demands obedience or no blessings. Grace brings obedience because of the blessings. You no longer obey God because you have to. You obey God because of the wonderful blessing that comes through your salvation, and you desire to obey him. Amen. Law says, stone the prodigal. Grace comes along and says, put the best robe on the prodigal. Amen. Law brings death. Grace, according to Romans 5, brings peace and life. Law demands sanctification. Grace bestows sanctification. Because of the law, and I like this, because of the law, there was 3,000 who died back in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, after Moses come down from the mountain and there they was dancing around the golden calf and all of that. He got the Levi tribe and he said, now you come out here and you slay those that was doing that. And the Bible says there was 3,000 of them that died. I'll tell you what happened on Pentecost. Grace came along and 3,000 of them got saved. Amen. Oh, I like grace much better than I like the law. Amen. I like the grace of God who has given us eternal life and forgiven us, you see. Not only that, the law was given. Moses's, if you remember, when the law was given, Moses' faith shown, and the Bible says the people feared. But grace come along through Jesus Christ and the people flocked to him. Wanted to see his face. Wanted to sit at his feet. Wanted to follow him wherever he went. The law, the Bible says, is a yoke of a burdensome weight. Over in Galatians, the 5th chapter tells us that. But the Bible tells us about grace that brought Jesus Christ. He brought a yoke that was easy. And his burden was light. We find also that if you'll just get a hold of this moment, and I'll go through these quickly, but think about this. What the grace of God has done for you and I, it's a marvelous, wonderful thing. First of all, we are accepted in the beloved, Ephesians. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians. We are called the sons of God, 1 John. We are delivered from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians. We are the elect of God. 1 Thessalonians. We are forgiven by God for Christ's sake, the book of Ephesians. We are saved by the grace of God, book of Ephesians. We are a holy priesthood, 1 Peter. We are hidden in Christ, Colossians. We are justified in his sight without works, hallelujah, Romans 3rd chapter. We are kept for Jesus' sake, the book of Jude. Life eternal is given to us by Jesus Christ. It's a gift that God gives us. Not only that, we are near to God by the blood of his Son, brought near to him in Ephesians. We are ordained to eternal life in the book of Acts. We have peace with God in Romans, the 5th chapter. We are quickened together with Christ, Ephesians 2. We are redeemed to God by Christ's blood, Revelation 5. We are, and all of these things, every single one of those things that I just mentioned is all because of the grace of Jesus Christ. All because of his marvelous grace, how good he is to us. So I say to you, yes, the law is a wonderful thing. It's a perfect, righteous, holy law. It's a great thing. But folks, it'll condemn you and I because we're sinners. We didn't need the law of God to be given to us. We already had that. What we needed is someone to fulfill it for us and keep the law of God. What a marvelous thing it is. You see, that's what God did for you. So the law did not deliver us. It was Jesus Christ and his marvelous grace that delivered us. Not only that, her deliverance, going back to 2 Kings here, her deliverance was expensive. The Bible says she owed a debt. We talked about that. She could not pay it. You and I could not pay it. And in fact, it required the payment of her two sons. It was an expensive debt. Do you understand what it cost for God to buy your redemption and mine? Do you understand how expensive it was? I tell you what, if all of us would get a little bit of a view of what it costs God to get us saved, it'd change our whole outlook on life. It'd change our whole Christian life. There'd begin to be some sacrifice in our life instead of always what's good for me. We'd go back to saying thank you God, getting on our knees and praising God for what he has done for us. I just want to say to you, salvation was not cheap. The most expensive price ever paid for anything was you and I's salvation. Most expensive. Listen to what he says over in Psalms. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious. The redemption of your soul and my soul is precious. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, folks. You was redeemed, and I was redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a redemption, what a price that was paid for you and I's salvation, you see. So this price was too much for sinners to pay. We couldn't pay it, but God could. And God paid it, you see. Not only that, her deliverance was sufficient. We find also in verse number 7, it says, and she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. I want you to know that when God done there, the debt was paid off. Isn't that wonderful? Did you know that when Jesus died, he not only paid for my past sins and my present sins, but my future sins? I mean, he just took care of all of it. And there's no doubt whatsoever, because his deliverances is sufficient, that not only am I a Christian now, but I will be with God throughout the ages of eternity. And let me just simply say this. That's not bragging, folks. I'm not bragging on me. I don't deserve it. But because of Jesus, he's promised I have an eternity with him forever and ever and ever. And I cannot be plucked out of the hand of God Almighty. My wonderful Heavenly Father, it's an impossibility for anyone to take me away from God. I'm his. My future is secure. And if you're a saved person, your future is secure. Amen? And then not only that, her deliverance was through the agency of the oil. It was oil God used. She poured that oil into vessels, and of course just kept filling them up till there wasn't any vessels left, and all of that was enough, of course, to pay the debt and secure her future and all those things. But in the Bible, you'll notice that oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to just simply say to you that when we're saved, we're told, according to the Bible, we're born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God does a miraculous work that I don't imagine any of us could really explain or understand to the depth, but does a miracle work in us. The Spirit of God does that and borns us into the family of God and places us into the body of Jesus Christ and comes himself to live within us. If you're a Christian here today, you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, living within you. We ought to take note of that. It ought not to aggravate you when the preacher preaches about holy living. It ought not aggravate you when the preacher talks about separation from sin and worldliness. You know why? We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. And where we go, he goes. Amen? And we've got to understand that, you see. We've got to know that and believe that and understand what God has done for us. And that sweet Holy Spirit come to live within us. And that's another thing I do in my prayer time. I like to talk to the Holy Spirit just for a few moments. I do it all in Jesus' name. But I always try to thank him for being my comforter. That's what the Bible says he is. He comforts me. I thank him for being my teacher. The Bible says he's our teacher. The Bible tells us that over in the 16th chapter of John. He's my teacher. He teaches me about Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit of God does. But I also thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit of God of being my convictor. Sin. Conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. Holy Spirit of God convicts us when there's sin in our life. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God that convicts us. See, if you quench the Holy Spirit of God, if you don't let the Holy Spirit of God do what he wants to do in your life, you'll just pass all that by. You'll just, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, you'll just shove it away. Oh, thank God when the Holy Spirit convicts you. Don't be aggravated. Don't be mad at Him. Thank God for it. He loves us and He convicts us of sin, you see. So I'm very thankful for the Holy Spirit of God who loves us and lives within us. So you see, the Holy Spirit of God is like oil. It's our security. Listen to this verse of Scripture. Listen to what God says over in Ephesians. He says, it's two verses. I said, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing can break that seal. We're talking about God the Holy Spirit, who has sealed us, and nothing can break that seal. Now you say, Brother Ross, what a wonderful, wonderful thing salvation is. Yes, it is. I think it was a good picture through this lady's life about salvation. Now what you've got to determine is this. You and I have to determine this. Amen? You just have to determine this. Do you have the salvation the Bible speaks about? See, Brother Ross is not trying to make you doubt. I'm trying to get you to look at yourself and search out your heart and say, am I truly born again? Am I saved? Am I God's child? Has there been truly a time in my life when, no, not that I just didn't believe about God, but I believed unto the Lord for salvation. I put my faith, my trust in Jesus Christ and what He done. Nothing I done. Nothing I could do whatsoever. Wasn't a thing that you and I can do. But it's what Jesus done. And all of my faith and all of my trust is in Jesus Christ. Has there been a time, as the Bible says, when you've been born again? See, that's a time in your life when you've been born again. I can see all you folk. You can see me. You know I was born once. Amen. That was August 15, 1939. That's when I was born. Once. But it was in April 1966 when I was born again. Now I'm simply saying to you, did you have the second birth? Do you know if you died today, 100% sure, you'd go to heaven? Amen. Don't you think you ought to know that? Think that's the proper right thing? You know God wants you to know that more than you want to know it. And a wonderful thing, God loves you so much today, and I trust that you'll take this opportunity during these services. If you're unsure of your salvation, say, Brother Ross, I just don't know for sure if I was saved. I had some religious experiences, but I don't know if I was born again. You know what we'd like to do? We'd like to be a help to you. You could come forward this morning. We'll have people waiting on you. We'll be glad to take the Word of God and be a help to you and show you what the Bible says, and then you can determine whether you're a Christian, whether you're God's child or not. You see, whether you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be a right thing to do? You don't want to go home doubting and all those things and carry that doubt and that burden all around all the time. You want to get it right. And you want to walk out of this place just knowing you're God's child. You're saved. You're born again into God's family. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads. And I'm going to pray in just a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First of all, I just want to ask you this. You say, Brother Ross, I do know 100% sure, I'm sure, if I died today, I know for sure where I would go. There's been a time when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I not just believed about God, but I know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hands. Thank you so much. Thank you. You put it back down. Thank you. Say, Brother Ross, I'm just not sure about that. I'm not sure whether if I died today I'd go to heaven or not. And it bothers me. It's a concern to me. And I want you to pray for me. Now, listen to me. I'm not going to call your name out. I won't come back to you. I won't in any way embarrass you. This is something between you and the Lord. And I just want to ask you. You say, Brother Ross, I want you to pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. And by your uplifted hand, you say, Brother Ross, I just want you to pray for me. Would you, any hands, please? Anyone? You say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm just not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I'm concerned about it. Just raise your hand, please. Give us an opportunity to pray for you. Anyone? Let's pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for the wonderful grace of God that brought salvation unto us. And I want to thank you today for your kindness and goodness to us in giving us that wonderful salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I would pray today, Father,
for all of those who lifted their hand and said, I'm God's child. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all and encourage our hearts and help us to live for you because of that great and wonderful price that you paid for our salvation. And Lord, once again also, I want to pray for maybe that one who was not sure of their salvation and just couldn't find the courage to raise their hand. Maybe more than that, Lord, I don't know what's in the hearts of people, but I know this, I know you love them, and I would pray, Lord, that you would undertake for them and encourage their hearts and help them during this time and give them the courage to step forward to come and receive Christ as their personal Savior. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.